A visit to Trinity Lutheran Church of Flatbush reminded me that April 22nd was the 26th anniversary of my father's death. He never had another congregation. It was like a marriage, 43 years. Mentioned Flatbush and some think of the Dodgers. Others will say that the real heart of the Synod is in the Midwest. No real Lutherans ever come from that part of the world. I changed my mind when I heard Dr. Bulls last week. If any place was multicultural, a word we didn't know then, Brooklyn still is. It wasn't a melting pot, it was a stew. By the 1940s, Protestants had vanished into an unrecoverable minority. Educators failed to act on the fact that New York was the world's largest Jewish city. One or two of us sat abandoned in the public schools on the high holy days. No one knew what a Lutheran was. They still don't. At one time, everyone came from Brooklyn. Now everybody comes from California. Pastors were different then. They did not pursue careers. Such titles as senior, youth, visitation, and administrative pastors were unknown. They were simply pastors. They worked in studies, not offices. They stayed in one place forever, and so it seemed. People remembered their churches because they remembered their pastor. Pastor Brunn's church, Pastor Rippey's, Pastor von Schlichten's, Pastor Buchheimer's. The pericope of the Good Shepherd should not be translated or speak of hirelings, but of employees, salaried workers. Nothing wrong with that. The parable of the vineyard is about wage earners. Wages are the basis of economics. Some matters can't be measured by contract or by money. The Enlightenment changed all that. Marriage is no longer a permanent union, creating one flesh. It is now a business contract dissoluble by divorce. For generations, Christians understood their ministers not as salaried contract employees, but as pastors. The one who was the chief shepherd and bishop had not only given their pastors his office, he had even given them his own title. The ministry was and still is a vicarious and substitutionary calling, suffering with God's people, sorrowing with them, rejoicing with them. Those shepherds gave their lives for the sheep. Consider Paul. Look at us. For the sake of Christ, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecution. But when I am weak, then I am strong. The Holy Spirit testifies to me that afflictions await me, but I do not count my life of any value if I accomplish the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the grace of God. As the years roll by, you will fall into Paul's trap of thinking that those people in the pews are really your sheep. They are. At this point, perhaps pastoral theology, like all of theology, becomes Christology. Take heed to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You can come to your own conclusion.